In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our spiritual journeys, like our physical life, starts when we are helpless and vulnerable. We need to be taught most things and we need to help to grow. And as we learn, we become hopefully more open to learning and eventually we mature enough to fend for ourselves. The difference between developing physically and developing spiritually is that we can ignore our spiritual development but still live physically. Most people are conscious of their soul and are yearning for more than the material offerings of the world. The decision to be open to God and to develop a spiritual life is not a one-off decision. It's a decision that we need to make every day. Often we do this unconsciously, but there can be times in our life when we make a very conscious decision to engage in spiritual practices and learning, so as to be open and receptive to God working in us through the Holy Spirit. We need open hearts to receive that which God provides. There is an old adage which says, it is better to give than it is to receive. For every gift given, there is usually someone to receive it. Because giving gives a lot of joy, and a lot of that joy comes from the experience of seeing the receiver's reaction to the gift. If our gift is rejected or ignored, we might be a little sad or annoyed. If our gift is well received, then we might feel good and satisfied that the effort that we put into selecting and presenting the gift has made a difference to someone's life. Now, the same emotions, I think, are at play when God provides gifts for us. The most important gift that God provided, of course, was of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to lead us to redemption and salvation. And God is overjoyed when we receive this gift and all the other gifts that come through the spiritual life with enthusiasm, but I'm sure saddened when we reject what is offered. When we receive with joy and enthusiasm, we tap into the hope that Jesus offers us. There's nothing like a life crisis to test our faith. Life crises challenge every part of us, especially our senses of hope. Anxiety and worry overwhelm us, and in the extreme, we might feel abandoned by God and completely alone. In spiritual terms, we often refer to these periods in our lives as desert experiences. The desert experience can be a metaphor for times when we feel barren and far from God. The significance of the biblical desert or witnesses was established in Jewish tradition very early on. The Hebrew Bible portrays the wilderness as a place of desolation and scarcity, and a place that requires all of one's energy to survive. Paradoxically, it can also be a place of safety and divine provision. We can find God in the wilderness and in our desert experiences because we are vulnerable, and which allows us to move closer to God. In my home country of Australia, there is vast deserts. Deserts cover much of the country. And I used to have a client that was based in Alice Springs, which is in the centre of the country, very near Ayers Rock. And often after I finished work and I was waiting for my plane out, I would drive out into the desert, into what is called the McDonald Ranges. And just even for an hour or so, I would find extraordinary quietness and just listen to the sound blowing through the dry scrub and between the chasms of the rock. And I found that very spiritual. And it was there that I really came to understand why the ascetics of the 3rd and 4th century, who we know as the Desert Fathers, went to the desert to get closer to God. It is a profoundly spiritual place. And when I was out there, I also came to appreciate that Aboriginal spirituality, which is based on their relationship to nature, came to understand how important it was. The vastness and ruggedness of the landscape filled me with awe. Our gospel for today is set generally in the desert. John was the last in a long line of prophets that God sent to herald the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. John lived the ascetic life, living off the land and wearing bare minimum to get by. The gospel readings set for this week and next are really better read as one. However, we have the first part, the introduction of John the Baptist, today. Luke, writing his historical account, locates the introduction of John firmly in time, citing no less than six emperors, governors, and rulers. John was living in the desert, and we are told it was there that God spoke to him. It was there that he was commissioned to proclaim the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We are also told that this monumental moment was heralded long ago in the prophecy of Isaiah. And this link is a critical bridge between the great historic prophets and Jesus of Nazareth. It shows to us the great arc of salvation history that we are very much a part of. Isaiah's prophecy was that preparation was needed in the world before the incarnation of the Lord could happen. Paths were to be made straight and valleys were to be filled in, and mountains and hills were to be made low. The crooked paths were to be made straight and the rough ways made smooth. If this was done, all flesh would see the salvation of God. The people needed to be prepared. Now, this is a hopeful and a necessary message for us today. It doesn't take much effort to imagine our world as a desert. Scarcity, isolation, hunger and violence seem to rule the day. The pain and injustice around us can make us wonder whether God is at work in the wilderness at all. But Luke suggests that the wilderness is precisely where God provides what we need, so that we can be the ones crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." When we stand in our own metaphorical desert, feeling isolated and spiritually bereft, we can draw comfort from the fact that God has been working to prepare the world for us and our salvation from long ago. God uses these times to speak to us. If we can open our hearts and be receptive to the Spirit of God, we can with time find our way out of the valley and onto the straight path, back to the loving embrace that is with God. This encounter with God and the journey back requires us to be humble and prayerful. My vocation as a priest and your role as Christ's witnesses is to prepare the way for others so that they too can live a Christ-centered life. We work away in community to build the bridges and fill the valleys and smooth the rough surfaces, make the roads a little straighter and the hills a little less steep. This season, like Advent, is a season of reflection, and it's a season where we examine ourselves, our values, relationships, and our priorities. We do not just prepare our homes with festive decorations and gifts. We also must prepare ourselves spiritually. To prepare ourselves to be, we must be receptive and open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives and to listen for what God is calling us to do in our ministry. John the Baptist challenged those that went out into the desert to see him to reorientate their lives towards God. And John calls them to repudiate injustice, selfishness, idols, and sinful living. And we need to do the same thing. We need to take stock of our lives and to see where we can improve the way we relate to our families and to our friends and to our work colleagues. John was an ordinary man, commissioned by God to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. No longer do we need to stay in the desert, hungry and thirsty for salvation. Salvation will come to all who have a receptive heart and welcome Jesus and follow his way. Amen.